It's time for Skirt on the Air Money Trends with Metairie Bank, and Paul Myers, who is North Shore Market President for Metairie Bank, joins us on WWL. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot.
All right, so baby boomers are still a major part of the population. They're no longer the largest segment. Millennials have taken over that honor. But baby boomers are still a defining element in the country. And baby boomers have an impact on the economy of the United States. So boomers who have saved some money might think they have enough, but they might not have enough. And there's something called the Higgins Report, and it kind of asks the question, economic crisis or golden parachute? Which is it?
I think everybody is in a different situation. The biggest thing that we have to remember, and we talk about it all the time, so it's not like, you know, I feel like when we talk about pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, I liken it to when we used to talk about New Orleans and it was pre-Katrina versus post-Katrina, right? There was always that line of demarcation in conversations. And talking about it with respect to that, you know, we've come through some very interesting times as it pertains to, you know, how many baby boomers left the workforce during the pandemic versus how many stayed. And what has taken place with their retirement and other things. So there's a lot of challenges to answer that question, and I don't know that there's a real silver bullet to that. We do know that boomers have traditionally saved more. Historically, they have saved more. They've enjoyed appreciation in real estate because they typically have you know, bought and held for a long period of time. So, I think it really is kind of a play-by-play and a case-by-case basis as to whether or not it truly is a crisis or a golden parachute. We've got some interesting times right now.
You know, with baby boomers, there's another factor here, and it doesn't affect me. I'm not mad at my parents, and I don't blame my parents that they didn't have anything to leave us. But I have a lot of baby boomer friends who suddenly, not that they're happy their parents passed away, but they suddenly became very wealthy because their parents had property, their parents had life insurance policies, and without really doing anything other than having a parent die, a lot of baby boomers have come into significant money.
Yeah, and you know, I heard, I was I can't remember if I read it or if I watched a video, but it was talking about a gentleman who had come into some money, and it was a significant amount of money, and it was nothing that he knew about, and he told his spouse, but they made the conscious decision not to tell their kids. And when I say significant, I'm talking about multi-millions that he came into through an inheritance that he was unaware of. And ultimately, they chose not to do that, and the reason why is they said they didn't want their kids to become waiters. And that is not a shot of anybody in the hospitality industry. And he says, we don't want them waiting for us to die. Hmm. And so that was kind of a profound thing. It was kind of funny the way that he played on that. But, you know, every generation we want, I know, Scoot, I know for your kids, you wanted them to have it better than you did. I have worked hard to try and work to make sure that my kids had it better than I, and so on and so forth. And that's always been kind of ingrained in a lot of the American dream, if you will. The one thing that we have to be cognizant of is that in order for us to continue to be the great nation that we are, is that we can't rest on our laurels, and we can't be waiters waiting for the generation that came before us to pass away so we can so-called live on easy street, right? I mean, and maybe that's just me. Maybe that's my own personal – I mean, I'm putting my personal opinion on there. But we have to continue to push ourselves and to innovate and to have that drive and initiative so that we can continue to be on the forefront of design and creation and continue to be the United States in the forefront of so many different industries that we do. And you can't do that if you just kind of – treading water, at least in my opinion. You can't do that if you're treading water. So you have to be careful with that. The flip side of that argument, too, is some of the people that you're probably referencing and some of the people that I know that they've actually taken that money and been able to utilize it to do even more creation, whether that's through investing in a small company that they already owned or completely pivoting in their career and say, I've always wanted to do this. And that allows them to innovate. That allows them to do things for the betterment of their community, for their family, and for our nation. So, you know, those are great things that you can do. You just have to be able to walk that line, if you will, to make sure that, at least, again, my opinion, to be able to be a good steward of what the past generation provided to you.
No, it's interesting. And I don't resent people who got a lot from their parents, but it is a fact that there are baby boomers who have done really well simply because their parents passed away and left a lot of things to them, left a lot of valuable things to them, like land and houses and 401ks and also life insurance policies. That was something that, you know, I don't know that my parents' generation really felt that the way baby boomers are feeling that because of their parents. But anyway, you're right. They have done a lot of things with that. So I'm not criticizing what they have been able to do with the money, just the fact that there is that potential for windfall that a lot of baby boomers have experienced. But, you know, you can't judge all baby boomers because everybody didn't have that opportunity.
No. And look, we all come from, and I think I've shared my story with you. You know, I grew up, I know what it was like to do homework by candlelight. Because I would come home from school, I'd walk home from school, and, you know, this is like uphill both ways, you know, in the snow. But I would literally, I'd come home and there would be no power. So I knew, especially on days before daylight savings time, I had to hurry up and try and get my homework done before it got dark, because trying to do it by candlelight was difficult. Yeah. Yeah. And that ingrained something in me to try and be better and to try and create something so that my kids didn't have to go through that. Right. Now, the flip side of it is I like to think it gave me character, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I know we're way off topic of banking and community banking and everything else, but, you know, I think that's why I enjoy being a community banker. I think that's why I enjoy being at Metairie Bank, and this month is actually 18 years I've been there. And no, I didn't have hair when I started. It was already gone when I started. But
we can't, you know, see that.
As I said, I've got a perfect face for radio. But no, it's those are the kind of things that I think you really do enjoy about being at a community bank, and the relationship building is because you see these generational things, and you see what people are trying to achieve, and it's very interesting. And with the changes of the economy and other things, it's those conversations that you're able to have. I mean, I've had more sit down just visits over cups of coffee over the last 12 to 18 months than probably the 24 months to 30 months before that, because people are just they want to talk to their banker, they want to talk to people and get a better understanding of what's going on in the economy. What, you know, none of us have a crystal ball. None of us know what's coming up. You know, it depends upon which channel you watch and which radio station you listen to. Of course, most people WWL. But, you know, to get an idea of how to prepare themselves, if you will, whether it's a windfall, if you're having to deal with a succession or dealing with aging parents. I mean, all those things come into play.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they certainly do. You know, Sting told his kids, he said, you know, Trudy and I, we're spending all the money. So don't wait around for us to give you money when we pass away. We're spending it all. And what we don't, mm-hmm. what we have left over, we're going to give it to a charity. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Well, look, you know, if I was Sting's kid, I'd think, come on, Dad, you're kind of selfish. Don't you think you leave a little for me?
Well, and, you know, I know very wealthy people that they look at it as they say, I'm going to make sure that my kids have a great education, that they come through and they get a solid foundation and a start on their lives and their career. And I will help them. I won't pay full boat, but I will help them in that regard. But then once they're out and they're on their own, they're on their own. I've done what I needed to do to ensure. Now, obviously, if they're involved in a family business and other things, those dynamics change. But I've heard that story before.
And if anybody should win the Powerball tonight, you know, it's really up there. I think the last I heard it was like $1.74 billion or something. It might even be a little higher than that. If they happen to win, Metairie Bank would be happy to help them deal with the money.
Just bring it on in. We'll put it all in deposits. And I knew you might bring that up because last time when it was so big, you talked about it. So I did do a little double check, and I want to say, after, if you take the lump sum and after taxes and everything else, you're only, now remember, only, underlined and bold, going to walk away with about $485-490 million.
But you know, but that's an, you know why that's an atrocity? Because, you know, it's $1.74 billion. And I know that you always get less if you take the one lump sum, which I think most people do. But also, it just goes to show you the amount of taxes that rich people pay. And without getting into politics here, let's don't. But it just seems unfair to me that so much money goes toward the taxes. And really, we're not even the worst. My God, if you were in the UK, it would be even worse than here.
Well, you got to figure, and again, I'm just ballparking, we're not going to get political, but you got to figure, if you live in the state of Louisiana, and I want to say if you make over $400,000 or $450,000, again, that's a great sum of money, but you're paying about 45 to 48% in taxes.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
So between state and federal, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, that's no matter how much money you make, if you're having to lose 48 to 50% of it, that's a difficult thing. So, and look, Scoot, I know we're running short on time. If you'd allow me, just two things I'd like to mention real quick. One, every year we sponsor the Monster Mash event, which supports the Parenting Center for St. Tammany Hospital Foundation. That's coming up on Saturday, October 21st, from 10 to 2 at Boga Falaya Park in downtown Covington. It is a phenomenal family-friendly event. I encourage anybody who can get over here. It is just an absolute great time. And the other thing I could say is whether no matter who you vote for, get out and vote this Saturday. You know, if you like how everything's going, great, vote. If you don't like how everything's going, great, vote.
Paul, I totally agree with you, and I think it's important that we participate in the process. There's something healthy about that. Even if you don't like everybody on the ballot, and even if you're voting for the lesser of two evils, just the idea that you're out there participating in the system, I think, gives you more of a mental and emotional connection with politics. And it's almost as if, you do have a right to complain if you don't vote, but it seems a little less genuine. If you complain and don't vote, it's almost like it gives you a little more credibility when you complain if you have voted.
Well, and I know on some of the constitutional amendments and things that come up, people, the wording gets challenged. You know, there are websites out there, I think PAR is one of them, where it's completely bipartisan. All it does is it says, if you vote yes, it means you vote this. If you vote no, it means you're voting for this. It's not steering you one way or the other. It's just helping those of us who, you know, right, didn't go to law school try to understand what those constitutional amendments are. So I highly recommend, you know, just as you said, be a part of the process, be engaged, and you know, as we all say, as those men and women who died to protect our freedoms, to be able to go and vote where that's not easily done in other countries, you know, let's do our part and get out and vote.
And what really gets confusing is when there's an amendment, and if you vote yes, you're really against something. It's like, you know, you vote yes, but it really means no. And very confusing.
Right, and that's where those websites, and maybe Ian can do a little research, and maybe I can send some, but there's some very, very bipartisan, clear as day, if you vote yes, this is what this means. If you vote no, this is what this means. And that helps everyone to get a better understanding.
I love the fact that everybody wants to put work on Ian.
Everyone's just giving me homework in here. Hey, listen, just pile it on, guys. I'm happy to research that for you.
Paul's got some stuff that he might need research. Why don't you just do it after you get off the air?
Paul, you need me to come over and rake some leaves or something, man?
As a matter of fact, my son's a little under the weather, so the yard work's stacking up. So if you could come help out with that. And your wife told me you're not doing anything between midnight and 5 a.m. You got a lot
that
of
is
free
true.
Time, right?
Yeah. That is true, yeah. Right. Hey, if I could get away from a screen for a couple hours and come clean your gutters, I would love to do that.
All right, it's Scoot
come
on the
on,
air.
You're welcome anytime.
Scoot on the air, Money Trends with Metairie Bank. Paul Myers, North Shore Market President. Thanks for the conversation. We'll talk to you again soon.